Views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Bob Dio, Bob Engineering and Producing the show. Welcome to Buckmaster. We've been around on the radio here now since 2011. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. A big shout out to all of our Vietnam War veterans today. Today is National Vietnam War Veterans Day. Thank you all for your service. It's Friday, March 29th, 2019. Hope you had a good week. We're coming to you during the noon hour, as we do each weekday here on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. Friday, we like to do our media shout out to our friends who support us with a very prominent display of the Buckmaster Show logo on their particular homepage of their websites, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, the local Tucson local media group and its portfolio of publications, which includes Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview today, Atalita Grijalva, who was elected to a fourth four-year term on the Tucson Unified District Governing Board. She was elected to that fourth term in November. She's a mother of three. Atalita has served as TUSD board chair. I think, Atalita, it was 2013 to 2016. Is correct. That correct on that? Good, yes. To see you, by the
nice
way.
Nice to see you.
With me in studio, Tim Steller is here, Arizona Daily Star columnist. Tim, how are you?
I'm the usual for a Friday at midday.
Yeah, you're running around thinking about what you're going to be putting in the paper for your column Sunday.
But just trying to get a Saturday off. That's
right
all.
Now, the focus is the Buckmaster Show, okay. As it always is.
What did you call it again?
Oh, there you go. And on the live line is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. We had hoped to have Sarah with us in studio. She's been coughing. There you go. Typhoid Mary.
Influenza Sarah.
Yeah, there you go. Let's begin. Let's begin. Atalita, how would you characterize the spirit on the board? There were such high hopes when Ms. Counts was elected as the newest fifth member of the board. There was a lot of, there's going to be a new spirit on the board. Now with Rachel Sedgwick talking about running for Pima County Board of Supervisors. I mean, I don't know. Let's hear what you have to say. Is there a new spirit?
I think regarding some of the issues, there is strong support to move the district in a direction of supporting early childhood education, which I think is really important. A lot of inclusion, talking about restorative justice and those areas that I have a real passion for. Ms. Counts seems to also favor moving in a direction that's really going to support our students. And so in that regard, I think it is. I think there is an effort to communicate and kind of explain different positions, because as a new board member and kind of new to this arena, I think there is some history behind some of the votes. And so trying to communicate that effectively has been something that we're working on.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that in some of the cases, maybe a lot of the cases, that the history is the problem, and that it's maybe better not to have been involved in the history of strife and what have you among board members?
Well, I think that it's not even so much amongst board members, because it's the issues that I'm concerned about. It's not personally whether I get along with any of the board members. A lot of it has to do, and the reasons why we don't agree, it has to do with an issue. And so if you fundamentally don't believe that TUSD should be in the business of pre-K and early childhood through 12, we're not going to agree on that issue. Mm-hmm. Right. And so some of those things I think are helpful to know, because if you don't understand the history, it's hard to move forward and sort of act like today is a new day starting day one. It doesn't work that way. And our policies are a kind of a manifestation of different boards kind of inserting the language that they like. So we're having a lot of discussion about policy changes.
Were you surprised that Ms. Sedgwick has decided now to apparently run for Pima County Board of Supervisor? Originally, she had filed, I believe, to go in District 3 as a Republican. Now she's saying on her Facebook page that it's going to be an independent run in District 5. I didn't realize you could still stay on the TUSD governing board and run for office.
Right. You can. This would be an election year for that position. So there will have three positions up in 2020. And so you can hold two offices. I don't know if it's advisable to run two different campaigns, but that I don't know whether that's something that she's going to step away from or not. And I am no longer surprised by some of
Have you been
actions.
Disappointed with her?
In general, as a
yes,
board member?
General.
Absolutely.
You've been absolutely disappointed
absolutely.
With her. Sarah, do you want to jump in here? Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star.
Well, I was going to ask about that, what your thoughts are with Rachel Sedgwick apparently thinking about making a run for Pima County Board of Supervisors. Is that something that I know the school board can often be kind of a first step in a political career. Is that something that you've ever thought about?
I've thought about it, but I also think that Supervisor Elias is doing a good job representing me and my interests in District 5. And so I'm never going to run against somebody that I think is doing a good job and is out in the community. And so, you know, I've been on the board for 16 years, and I always think it's kind of funny that people say, oh, this is your office as a stepping stone, as your, you know, step to the next, you know, the next office. And I'm thinking, I've been here, I'm working on my 17th year. This is like the hugest step that anyone could ever take.
You know, and I guess, Tim and Sarah, we should follow up to what Adelita said here about Rachel Sedgwick, that she's been absolutely disappointed. What has disappointed you?
A lot of it has to do with, you know, we're all going to get complaints. And usually it's the people that are unhappy with the situation that are going to complain to you. But those numbers are small. And so to kind of make sweeping statements that many people in the community, I've heard lots of people, you know, we all receive the same email from, you know, a small number of people or one person. Those generalizations, I think, are difficult. And it's a difference between setting policy and governance and micromanaging. And that gets that line is crossed often.
10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our live line number is 790-2040. It's the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller is here. His colleague, Sarah Garrett Gaston, is on the live line. Tim, you're up next.
Yeah, I was wondering, sorry about that. I lost control of the microphone
I know
for a
you
second.
Did. You've got to keep that right in front of you.
Flies all over there, the place in this new
that's
studio.
Right,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, one of the sticking points over the years between you and some of the other board members has been University High. I think it's become almost a kind of a hot button issue because of it's been a divisive issue. Let's put it that way. And I should disclose that my son goes there. So just FYI. My perception, and this goes back to 2013, long before he went there, I was even thinking about it, is that it... for some members, it's like the most important thing, i.e. Mark Stegeman. That's the impression given that we expand university, give it its own campus, et cetera. And that on the other side, I'd point to you or maybe Crystal Foster, I'm not sure. It's almost a polarized for a position that you've taken, that it's an elite institution, maybe elitist, and doesn't deserve to be treated with any, you know, basically it's stuck in a basement there and it can stay there.
Yeah. And I, this is the problem that I have because I am supportive of UHS. I have encouraged the campus, you know, the English departments to be on the same floor. We've also had RINCON say, hey, if you guys want to move up, you don't have to stay in the basement. The facilities, it's interesting on that campus because you have RINCON and administration in charge of certain aspects, and then you have UHS in charge of facilities and other things. So, you know, when you look at an issue and say, well, who's responsible for that? It might be one of two. My concern is that I want to make sure that students at every high school have access to the kinds of classes that are available at UHS, whether it be dual language or whether it be AP. So if you are a student at Sabino, Pueblo, Cholla, should you have to go to UHS to get the classes that you need in order to have a strong, resume and transcript to go to whatever university you want to? And that's my issue. My sister went there, my brother-in-law. I know that UHS fills a need in our school system for some students, and there's no argument there. My issue is that I don't think that a student should have to get bused all the way to UHS to get those kind of classes.
All right.
And so do I want to expand it and make it bigger? I think the ideal would be to have a UHS program in all of our high schools. Does that mean that we're not going to have a UHS the way it is now? No. It just means that I just want more opportunities for our students.
And when you say that, are you referring to a test-in type program, since UHS is a testing
school?
Yeah.
It could absolutely be a test-in, but the other thing is that you don't have to test in to take an AP course. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're very strong in history and want to take an AP course in history, and math, not as much. I think that, to have that flexibility is something that all of our students deserve.
And an AP course is?
Advanced placement.
Oh, okay.
And you can also have dual credit, where you get credit at the university for taking a course and don't have to take an AP exam at the end to prove your proficiency. There are a lot of different ways to get there, and I think giving our students more options is better.
Sarah, do you want me to go to you now or after I do the break?
My question is, it's been about a year since the Red for Ed movement started getting underway, and I'm just wondering, looking back, what has changed and where are we now?
Well, really the only thing that changed was that infusion of funding. And here we are still the next year trying to figure out whether that's something that is going to be provided to our schools or not and to our teachers. And so one of the problems that I have is that, we still have the same administration that is going to put unfunded mandates on every campus and then sort of say, but see, I gave you the money to do what you want to do with it. And it's one of those things where, you give with one hand and take with the other. And that money and funding in general for education needs to be for all of our employees. And that's the decision that we made at the board that a lot of other districts did as well. But, we have a crisis in our teaching and vacancies for teachers. And the solution that our state decided to put out there is, well, let's lower the requirement. So we need more teachers. So let's not require them to have a teaching certification. Let's not require them to do some other things. And I think that that is going backwards instead of honoring the profession.
Has the infusion of money for increased salaries had any discernible effect on either retention of teachers or hiring of new teachers, anything like that?
It's really hard to tell at this point because our vacancies have continued to go down over the last 4 years. And so at the beginning of school, we've had less and less vacancies. Maybe the infusion of funds helped a first or second year teacher decide to stay and see what happens this next year, because that's the really crucial time. If we can and keep a teacher in teaching for 3 years, the likelihood of them staying is a lot greater. Mm. But for our veteran teachers, this has been a decision that they made regardless of, they didn't become teachers to get rich.
Right.
So it's nice, but not a must-have.
All right, we've got, we'll take the break right here. There's so much more on our agenda with Adelita Grijalva after the break, including the TUSD money picture. The budget was not brought up at the meeting this week. We'll hear what Adelita Grijalva has to say about that. Also, she has served under several TUSD superintendents. How does she like the job that Gabriel Trujillo is doing? Those are questions I want answered, and we'll get those answers from Adelita Grijalva. Tim Steller sticks around from the Arizona Daily Star. His colleague, Sarah Garrett Gasson, is with us, trying to control her cough.
sorry.
And we thank her very much for not coming down to the studio today, but it's always good to hear from Sarah. It's time now, Tim. What do you think I'm going to talk about?
Mona's
Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Adelita, do you like bakery goods?
I'm trying to stay away from bakery goods, but I do enjoy them.
There you go.
Everyone's the same. Yeah.
Right. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The hot breakfast is coming. Another week or so, you know, you've got Steve, the owner and chief baker, he's put in all this equipment, getting all the permits in order, and then they'll be serving that hot breakfast. Right now, though, lunch is available. I strongly suggest one of those great sandwiches at Mona's, and my favorite, the chocolate chip cookie. Does that sound good to you at all, Sarah?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take the break right here. We'll be back with Adelita Grijalva on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Atalita Grijalva is with us. She has been on the TUSD governing board now for, actually, it's in her 17th year on the board. Tim Steller is here, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. His colleague is back at the Star right now, but she's on the live line, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor and columnist. How many? You've served under seven, I believe, superintendents?
Yes, sir.
Seven. Your 16-plus yep. years. That tells me something.
It does. Nationally, the average stay for a superintendent is 3, unfortunately, but, well, 2.5. But successful districts keep the same superintendent for years and years because it's a stability issue and has nothing to do, rarely should it have anything to do with the changes on the board. Unfortunately, in TUSD, when the board changes, so does their opinion of the job that the superintendent is doing. And so there's big upheavals.
How do you like Gabriel Trujillo's performance?
I like Dr. Trujillo. I think that he has really good intentions. I do think that this board, our job is to design and create what the vision is for the district and give Dr. Trujillo his charge. And unfortunately, that has not occurred. I mean, it took 9 months for us to come up with goals for the superintendent. We didn't talk about his contract until last board meeting, really, like vote on the contract. And his contract was up June 30th. So that's the latest that we've ever had that discussion. And so I am very concerned about that. I do think that we have to get united behind a vision and mission for the district and then give the marching orders that way.
What did you think about this discussion? I think it happened over the last couple of weeks on putting the tribal nations flags. I think it's on the dais at TUSD.
The Tohono O'odham Nation and the Yaqui Nation flags. Their colors.
What happened with that? I guess my colleague Neto Portillo wrote a bit about it.
He did. And so basically what happened is we had a vote that I really thought was going to be an opportunity to celebrate because we just had a vote on the allowing our students to wear regalia with their cap and gown. And so I thought that it was going to be a really positive. We had the two chairmen there from both of the nations in the front row.
They were there?
They were physically there.
With their flags?
With their flags on their laps with members of the council there. And I just thought it was going to be a 5-0. And then Dr. Stegeman says he has a concern about having the size of those flags be the same as the U.S. and Arizona state flags. And then Ms. Sedgwick looked at me and said, would you be willing to consider a smaller version in order to get a 5-0 vote? And I said, no. But Dr. Stegeman had already made the point that he wasn't going to vote for the item either way. So it ended up passing 4-1. But it was
Did you find it embarrassing to the two chairmen?
I literally got off the dais and went and apologized. And they said, well, you don't have anything to be embarrassed about. But I felt it was incredibly disrespectful and assigned to both of the chairmen from both of the nations and all of the people that were there in the audience, just assuming that it was going to be a celebration. So my hope is that when the item comes back and we actually have the flags and the poll, that we're going to have a real celebration in honor of us working together.
Sarah, would you like to jump in here? Sarah Garrett Gasson.
Well, with you were speaking about Superintendent Trujillo and how the board should get together and give him his marching orders. You've been on the board for 17 years now.
Yes.
And do you ever get tired of saying the same thing?
Well, you know, if this community wants stability on the TUSD board, then they should consistently vote to have people that are like-minded as far as our job is governance. It's not managing. And that has not happened. We have very different leadership styles, every single member. And unfortunately, and this is true for a lot of, you know, large urban districts. I mean, look nationally, this is something that unfortunately is all too familiar. And so, yes, does it get old? Absolutely.
Were you disappointed that the budget did not come up at the meeting this week?
Well, I think that it's really telling that, we have Dr. Stegeman is the president of the board who organizes the agenda, but the items that we have to, that we end up pushing off meeting after meeting are big ones like curriculum, finance. Those are the ones that really should be at the top of what we do. And we've talked about the audit committee nearly every meeting. I mean, that's a it's that kind of, you know, where we focus on tiny, minuscule pieces of our district as opposed to big picture that is frustrating.
Mm. Now, he's only president of the board by virtue of the fact that he was willing to serve possibly just 6 months, right? Because earlier this year or late last year, you had when the new board was formed, you had a debate about how to choose a president. My understanding is that you and Crystal Foster weren't willing to do just a 6 month term or be reconsidered after 6 months, but he was, and so he ended up getting the votes.
Right. It was basically, let's split the leadership between two people, and the vote had to be, this is the pairing. And so my issue, you couldn't just vote for 6 months and then come back and reconsider in June. You can't do that. And so trying to communicate that on the dais, I can't just say, this is the leadership team for 6 months and then we're going to talk about it in June. We have to vote for whoever is going to be president for the year. It can be a combination of people, but that was the vote. And my issue was, I don't have faith in Stegeman or Sedgwick to put them in any leadership position. And all of the combinations had to do with those. I do think that Ms. Foster, having served the time that she's been on the board, has never been president. I thought that she deserved the opportunity to do it. I think she can do a really great job, and I wanted to be able to support her to do that. When the item comes up for reconsideration, I was never unwilling to serve in the position as a 6 month. I just didn't want to endorse micromanaging and leadership.
I think I echo what Tim and Sarah also would like me to bring up, and that's stopping the bleeding of the enrollment hemorrhaging. Do you like Dr. Trujillo's two-part plan on that?
Well, I think that any ideas as far as how to recruit and retain our students is a good one. We actually did stop the bleeding under Dr. Sanchez. So we were right within line of, you know, we're flattening out our enrollment loss. And then right after the big upset with Dr. Sanchez, enrollment plummeted. And I think that this board, unfortunately, doesn't see the connection between how we are functioning as a board and the choices parents make and what district to put their children in.
Do we know what happened to HT? Have you been in contact with him?
I have. Okay. He is actually superintendent. In another district.
So he's landed on his feet.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that district just gave him a 5-year extension.
Whoa.
Right. So
where is
he? He is in Texas, Plainview, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they just extended his contract for 5 years. So he will be, and I think that is a smart move on their part.
They were so happy with his performance, they've just given him a 5-year extension?
Yes, and that is a board that is larger than ours, made up of 7, with many different political parties. So it's not an ideology. It's like, we're going to, you know, we believe in you moving our vision forward, and I think that that is something that he deserves, and I'm really happy for him.
Sarah, jump in here before we let you go.
I was wondering about the students and the with the efforts to, this came up at a forum that we had, a candidate forum about feminine hygiene products, and I've heard about there's an effort to do like a clothing bank, but for feminine hygiene needs, and I wondered if you knew anything about that or if this is something that is, it seems to be on students' minds, and I wondered if that's something that the board has weighed in on.
We have had conversations I've had individual conversations with students who are very concerned about not having access to those products and a reasonable price. The problem is a lot of those machines are no longer functioning, and we don't have, or they're like the wrong size. I mean, it's a mm-hmm. lot of those logistics. I know our nurses all have feminine products that are free in their offices and students have access to it, but ensuring that we have one of, you know, a machine that will dispense it in every bathroom is, you know, it's going to be a big project. And my hope is that we ensure that our students have what they need, but they can go to their nurse's office. It's my understanding they can go to the nurse's office to obtain them.
I'm just about out of time, but one issue that's just emerged is really an epidemic. We had Dustin Williams on the show yesterday, the superintendent of the Pima County Schools. What he said for a half an hour here on the program yesterday surprised me, because I don't have kids in the district, or I don't have any kids. So, but this vaping thing is huge. You're having kids taking hits of these little devices in class. Some of them, they're getting when they take a hit, almost the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes. It's very, very scary.
Right. And so the students are not allowed to have those devices on campus, but a lot of them look just like a normal pen. We have, because it is tobacco, the juvenile diversion program I run, it has to be, you have to get arrested for vaping and some other misdemeanor offense. And so I'm not seeing a lot of them here. And a lot of schools are dealing with those individually, but we have some schools that will require students to like open up their jackets because they're hiding things inside their jacket. It's happening very often. And if you're sitting anywhere near adults, you'll notice, you know, somebody. So it is something that is very prevalent. It's not all tobacco products. You have other things that are very strong and chemicals that are just so bad for developing minds. So I'm hoping that we can get a handle on it, because any student can go in and buy it.
Yeah. All right. Tim, did you have anything more?
So in these cases, the only way you know then if it's a well-concealed, for example, a pen-looking vape product, the only way you'll know is if somebody sucks on it and blows out steam, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right, Adelita Grijalva, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks always for having me.
Always a pleasure to see you. Tim Steller will stick around with me in studio. What is this talk now about closing the border here? We'll be addressing that with Tim. Sarah, we're going to let you go, and hopefully this cough that you have will not turn into a full-blown virus.
Let's hope so. I'm going to croak my way through the weekend.
It's going around, so be careful. Use a lot of hand sanitizer.
Right. Sarah, thank you. Thanks for weighing in. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our break right here on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's Buckmaster and Tim Steller after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our Friday Focus interview today, thank you to Atalita Grijalva, the longest-serving board member, 16 years. I believe she's the longest. I don't recall when Dr. Stegman, Tim Stellar, was elected.
Well, it was several years. He was elected several years after. I think at least one term
so she's
after. She's
longest
was,
serving board member. It was interesting to hear what she said. There's no new spirit, apparently, on the board. And now with this news about Rachel Sedgwick, I didn't realize that. I just kind of assumed, Tim, that Rachel would have to, like, resign
to run. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I guess because it's a non-paying job, TUSD. So she won't have to resign if she doesn't want to run for the supervisors.
I thought I had written this in today's column, or actually more precisely that my colleague Joe Ferguson had written this because he wrote the piece about Rachel Sedgwick's plan run.
In today's column. You've got something.
And
on
I thought he had written this, but I guess I read it somewhere else. Maybe she wrote it that she was not planning to overlap if she wins a seat on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. That's certainly feasible. I mean, you could easily not run for re-election in the one seat and then run for election in the other.
Yeah.
Anyway, it made me smile a little when you were mentioning it to Adelita Grijalva because, of course, her dad went from, you know, local activist to TUSD board member to Pima County supervisor to Congress.
Right. All right. There's news that the president may shut down the border. What do you think that might mean here at Nogales? When they say shut the border down, does that mean like produce trucks and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, everything. So that happened once after the kidnapping and murder of Kiki Camarena, the DEA agent back in the mid 80s. The border was closed in a kind of symbolic gesture for a couple of days, as I recall. It would cause chaos because the thing that people who don't live near the border don't get is that 90% of what's going on at the border is above board.
Right. It's business as usual.
It's business. 90, it's people with documents crossing.
Probably even 95%.
Yeah. It's just a way of life back and forth. Yeah. And so, but people, you know, far away from the border see chaos. And there is a crisis, as they say, of people, these refugee seekers from Central America arriving in massive numbers. But I don't know. It certainly seems like the president's base, so to speak, would love it if he shut the border. It's just the kind of decisive symbolic gesture that, you know, kind of makes him more popular, I think. Makes him look like the kind of tough guy.
Tim Stellar is here, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. It's Buckmaster on a Friday on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Actually, there's quite a bit of news this week. In the U.S. Senate race, the field, this has got to be pretty good news for Mark Kelly. It looks like he will not have, at least at this point, a major opponent in the Democratic primary.
Apparently, Ruben Gallegos, the congressman from Phoenix, has decided not to run. And he was definitely, I mean, he was as in as you can get without actually walking through that door. But Kelly is formidable as a fundraiser and has a formidable biography. And also Gallegos has a safe seat, so he would have to have risked that safe seat in order to run for U.S. Senate. So maybe not so surprising, but I always find it a little disappointing when there's not competition for these nominations.
Well, there still may be. This is kind of confusing, and this was a front page story from Howard Fisher, who covers the Capitol and the legislature for the Arizona Daily Star and other papers around the state. This proposal to double the road taxes in Pima County cleared a hurdle at the legislature, but now voter approval would still be needed. This is basically, Tim, the legislature saying, we're going to throw it back to Pima County and let voters decide about whether there should be an increase in the tax.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, that's what we had Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller and I believe Senator Vince Leach opposed to this. But what is to be opposed to letting people decide this at the ballot? I don't understand why the people can't have the right to vote on something like this.
Right. So, I mean, obviously, Supervisor Miller and her allies have been opposed to any tax increase as a way to solve our road problems. And so, you know, I suppose, and from reading her emails, she views this as kind of a first step to permitting a tax increase or to facilitating a tax increase. And it's true that the voters in Pima County, have twice recently voted down bond issues or similar ballot issues to pay for road repairs. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just so what would have to happen if they pass this? So what needs to happen still is the House has passed this, a Senate committee has passed it, the full Senate has to pass it, and then the governor has to sign it. And if that happens, then Pima County Board of Supervisors would have to agree to put it on a ballot, then so would the Regional Transportation Board, and then the voters would have a look at it, and of course the plan would have to be specific. Mm-hmm. It couldn't just be just raise the taxes and we'll fix some roads. Mm-hmm. It would have to be specific about what they're doing. So there's a lot of safety features, I think, and it's quite possible that we would vote no.
Because, well, the current law right now allows the county's Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA, to impose one half cent sales tax on road projects. Mm-hmm. So this would double that?
Yeah, that would be, could then go up to a full cent. And, you know, the likely carrot for especially county residents would be that some of the money could be funneled to the repair and reconstruction of the bombed out streets in some of the areas of unincorporated Pima County.
No, again, I just don't understand what the big deal is about letting people have
right.
their say on something like this.
I don't either. I mean, granted, I guess the one argument I could see on their side is, well, we've already voted on something like this and said no. But it's not really the same thing. I mean, we've been voting on possible bond issues, stuff paid for with property taxes, different mechanisms than this, which would be a half cent managed by the Regional Transportation Authority, an additional half cent.
All right, let's go to the live line. David would like to ask a question of Tim Steller. Go ahead, David.
I have a comment. You know, the county has spent tens and tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of roads and other capital improvements to serve Marana's growth. And the mayor of Marana's on this morning on the Wake Up Tucson. He has said the county has done nothing. Well, look, they spent our tax dollars building Twin Peaks Extension, Twin Peaks Interchange, widening Tangerine Road to Four-Lane Parkway, and oh yes, the sewage treatment plant. They set $650,000 to expand that treatment plant to accommodate all the development that they put up there in the Tortolita foothills. And my issue is, I live in Pixel Rocks, and the roads are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they use my tax dollars to build beautiful roads for the town of Marana. And they're just giving the developers a green light to destroy our desert, turning more and more of this cookie-cutter development, which I think has no redeeming value. I support the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan because all this cookie-cutter development is just, it's wiping out our desert. It's creating traffic problems. It's driving my taxes up. When they delisted the pig mail, my taxes went from $1,500 to over $5,000 just a few years to pay the bill for all this.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks. Tim?
Yeah, I mean, and so it's such a delicate dance to try to distribute the tax money fairly. The town of Marana typically, or at least its mayor, has opposed any tax increases, anything that the county would do to pay for road repair. But if they ever do get the money, then they have to spread it evenly among the jurisdictions. And yeah, so that in the end, I guess that David's argument could be shown to be true in the sense that the money is going to go to each of the jurisdictions within the county, and they're going to be able to use it, and that'll facilitate growth.
All right, Tim, what's coming up in the Star on Sunday?
Well, I can't speak for anybody but me right now because I have no idea. But I am working on a piece following up a piece that Tony Davis wrote. So Tony had a story last weekend about the recycling problem in the city of Tucson, which is there's no market for especially bottles and paper products. And it's the cost has gone up, I think, sevenfold from an anticipated $500,000 to over $3 million. And so anyway, I have a take on that that's goes a little beyond that to root causes related to waste and the single serving products that we have grown so used to buying
bottled
and throwing out.
Bottled water and, yeah. And on and on.
Although,
right?
Interestingly, mm-hmm. these little bottled water bottles, like the one I'm drinking out of right now, these plastics are among the very few things that actually have a market.
Right.
So for recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that you would traditionally expect to be able to recycle simply like paper actually don't have a market and turn out to cost a lot.
Well, I'll look forward to that. That's coming up Sunday in the Arizona Daily Star. Tim Steller's column, try to read it religiously, three times a week in the Star. I'm one of those people still likes to receive a newspaper on my doorstep.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. I do
it
too.
It is, yeah. So it's,
although, honestly, this thing yeah. about the paper not being, yeah. Not having a market has me thinking a couple twice, you know? It's like, oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
One
no,
more.
But yeah. I tell you, we do have an online subscription, you know?
Sure.
Just
to
get,
yeah.
if you don't support want the paper, do an online subscription.
There you
subscription.
Go. Tim, have a good weekend,
thank
okay?
you. I appreciate it.
All right. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Waiting in the wings, the longtime host of our Weekend Watch program, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell. But first, let's listen to the great people who make our work possible. Vittori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Here we go, baby. Stir it up. A little bit of Weekend Watch. We will stir it up with Matt Russell momentarily. Weekend Watch brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. I love that part of the southwestern United States, and specifically the southwest portion of the Land of Enchantment. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Here he is, the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, and award-winning Tucson publicist, all-around nice guy who enjoys a good meal. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, and what a treat it was to see you in person a little earlier today at the studio.
Yeah,
that was great.
It was good to see you. I can't wait to see there were a couple of photos taken here. I can't wait to see that on Facebook. So that'll be my treat when I get home.
I'll be posting.
What's going on this weekend at the Fix?
Yeah, well, the Fix, of course, Tucson's mac and cheese headquarters down there in Main Gate Square, they've decided to get into the March Madness spirit this season with Mac Madness, a single elimination tournament that starts with 16 different preparations of mac and cheese, ending up with just one that'll be the grand champion. Now, sales determine the winners each week, and they've just revealed which versions have made it to the Elite Eight. Now, personally, my money's on the Shark Attack, which is a rich and savory version with lobster and cream cheese, but there are 8 recipes vying for the final 4 slots. So go to the Fix this weekend, check out the brackets, and get in on some of this Mac Madness yourself.
How about a little vino to go with the madness?
Always, always. And some spectacular wines from the Wilcox Wine Country will be showcased tomorrow at the Gregory School on Craycroft Road as they host the first annual Bravo Vino Wine Festival from 11 to 6. This is a great opportunity, Bill, to sample wines made from grapes that are locally grown in those stunning vineyards of Wilcox while enjoying some live music and food from local chefs. And proceeds are going to benefit the Arizona Opera League of Tucson. $20 at the door gets you 6 tastings, $25 gets you 10 tastings, and the Buckmaster Weather Desk tells me it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny tomorrow, so I'll see you at Bravo Vino.
We've heard of the UA. What about AU?
Absolutely. Agave University, of course. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be hearing a lot about the agave plant as the Agave Heritage Festival kicks off. This Sunday, it's Agave University at Maynard's downtown starting at 2 o'clock. You're going to do a deep dive into the natural and cultural history of the agave plant, as well as the sustainable use of wild agave for mezcal production. And, of course, you're going to have a great tasting of tequilas, mezcals, and other agave spirits. All of the information for this and other festival events is at agaveheritagefestival.com.
And in the column in Inside Tucson Business...
Yeah, a fun one. You know, the food menu that you typically see at beer festivals is really ready for a facelift. And I sat down with a local chef who's teaming up with some colleagues to make sure that the cuisine at next week's Baja Beer Festival is just as imaginative as the brews themselves. And that story is in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Always looking for that good food and beverage. Matt Russell, have a great weekend.
Right on. You too, Bill.
Buckmaster Communications, that's the company. Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, Bob Dio, my great engineer producer, the entire team at Bustos Media, including Jerry Cross, Ray Allen, Alicia, and Elsa in the front office, all of us wishing you have a very safe and pleasant weekend. Don't go away. Steve Rivera is waiting in the wings with his very popular show. It's called Eye on the Ball. Can't wait for Steve's show today. Lots to talk about. Have a great weekend, everybody.